So we are small and mighty, but yay. And we're great like that. So the good news is that I'm not the speaker tonight. So you get a little bit of a break before later. Who's our message bearers, though? Is it just going to be me and you, David? Who else? Stan. Yay. Okay. We'll do great. But before we get to that, and before we get to more songs and all that, we get to hear our speaker, or as Mealy calls them, the talkers on Wednesday night. And I get the pleasure of introducing this gentleman who I got to meet for the first time in a Tuesday afternoon class. Now, he's been coming around the church for many, many years, a lot longer than I have. But that was the first time that we got to meet. It was Tuesday afternoon class, and we became fast friends. And I somehow convinced him to take over my seat as the treasurer on the board of directors. So he is a saint because he is doing that job. And it's not an easy task when you're volunteering for the church. And the treasurer is probably the hardest working one. So thank you for that. But besides that, David has a beautiful wife, two beautiful daughters, and just a really great guy. I'm sure that whatever he's going to share with us tonight, it's going to be from his heart. So please help me welcome David Valley. Envelope for you, too.
Oh, okay, cool. I like envelopes, especially when they're filled. So Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
One more Christmas shopping day left to buy my Christmas present. So, and welcome. Thanks for joining me. So, did you know that if you take the definition of serendipity, which means a remarkable concurrence of events of circumstances without apparent causal connection, and you can replace that with God's stories. And so I'd like for you to join me on this serendipitous journey today. So if my memory serves me correctly, it was during my mid to late 20s, a period when I felt invincible and was willing to try just about anything, when this question was posed to me: at what age do you think you'll be free from the physical life? At what age do you think you're going to die? 52 came to mind, thinking that that was going to be old enough and not much more to live for after that. Well, that day finally arrived on November 19th of this year. My distant twin sister there. And so that thought stuck with me throughout these years. And the funny thing, though, is that several weeks leading up to this momentous age, approximately 7 in the morning, driving into the office, an incident occurred where a dumpster truck attempted to, on my left, began to take a right-hand turn and attempted to take me out. Not that it was deliberate or anything like that, but it occurred practically in the front of my place of employment. And following that was another incident, or shall I say coincident, on Mission Gorge Road, where just as I entered the intersection, another vehicle coming from the right runs the red light and stops practically just about two feet in front of, onto the side of my car. And then several days later, again, a very similar incident, or shall I say coincident. Naturally, thoughts of surrendering to the idea of being free of my physical self were circulating in my mind. Could there be some validity to this? Was this a premonition of some sort that occurred way back then? Well, I now believe that there was some relevance to this, and that the death that occurred is a transition to another chapter in my storybook of life. All that is, the universe, the angel guides have been attempting to get my attention through these occurrences, and I now know why. Because you see, aside from these near mishaps, leading up to this date and following this date, were an uncanny serendipitous series of these events. These alleged coincidences were occurring during a period of unrest for my self-esteem, as a feeling of inadequacy was settling in, resulting from a situation that was not suited for me at my place of employment. It no longer felt like the right fit. I was bored. I was unchallenged and felt that I may have to move on only after 18 months of being there. I struggled, vacillated back and forth with a decision over a span of about 3 to 4 months. Thinking back, though, it was these thoughts that set in motion the following. In the midst of this struggle, coincidentally, I received a text message from a dear friend of mine, Stephanie, with a message that she learned from a friend of a firm that was in desperate need of someone to come on board that can fill the role of an employee that just felt like that just left the firm. I thought to myself, shall I follow up with this lead? I didn't. Approximately a week later, out of nowhere comes a phone call from a headhunter inquiring on my present state of employment and whether I would consider pursuing employment with a firm up north. We chatted for about 15 minutes, and I agreed to send him my resume and a follow-up conversation after reviewing my resume. Not only did I not send my resume, I didn't follow up with the repeated messages he left me. And each evening that I left the office, I asked myself, am I supposed to leave this place? Am I fooling myself and allowing the fear of letting go of this place rule me or appropriately ruin me? The struggle continued, and through all of this, the idea that I was going to be deceased by the age of 52 was present. This also brought to mind the thought of being on my deathbed, and the thought of, I do not want to have any regrets lying on my deathbed. Will I have accomplished and fulfilled my dreams? It was during one of my strolls downtown that serendipitously, when deep in thought, that something caught my eye peripherally. Written on a chalkboard sign, sitting on the pavement, was a message that stated, if things don't appear to be going in the right direction, then go left. And I thought, oh, how clever. The definition of insanity came to mind, and I think you all know what that means, that definition is. I get it now. Step into the uncomfortable zone, take a leap of faith, and accept the lemons that have been thrown your way. Disappointment is inevitable. Misery is optional. People are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out. But when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed. But only if there is a light within. And on November 20th, the morning following my birthday, at approximately 11 a.m., as I was sitting at my desk, the owner of the company approaches me and asks, can you take a break? In my smart house self, I was thinking to myself, do I have a choice? I joined him and one of the other principals into the conference room to learn that day that it would be my last day as a result of a reduction of workload. A crush to the ego, I suppose. Sure, there was some disappointment. Thoughts of I'm not good enough, I didn't perform, I didn't speak out enough, I didn't take leadership, followed by so close to Christmas, really? How will I purchase presents for my girls? Can I afford that Christmas tree or shall I save it for meals? How long will the money I have set aside last? And so forth. I could have chosen also to be miserable. However, an overwhelming sense of relief took over. Funny, as I left the premises, that scene came to mind where the cartoon character Frosty the Snowman, I'm sure you all have seen that cartoon, when he springs back to life after putting back his hat, sings out, happy birthday, and so this was my gift. It was indeed a gift for my 52nd, a serendipitous gift from above. Oh, those angel guides, that universe, it's there for one purpose only, one's own personal spiritual growth. Know that it is these types of events that will shape who you are and bring forth your higher self, but only if you choose to allow it. Nikola Tesla once was quoted as saying, if you wish to understand the universe, think of energy, frequency, and vibration. I certainly have no interest in understanding it from a scientific basis, but I can certainly know it from a spiritual perspective that God is love, and love is energy, frequency, and vibration. The law of vibration shows us that everything vibrates. Everything is energy, and energy is that physical property of objects which can be transferred to other objects or converted into different forms. Emotions exude a form of energy, and the resulting vibrations that I was thinking were tapping into the universe and bringing forth those desires of mine. And then that quote came to mind again. If things don't appear to be going in the right direction, then go left. And so now I'm into my new incarnation. I continue my serendipitous journey. And the thought of being free from the physical side of life at 52 is now residing in my mind and bringing forth thoughts of the rest of my life. If there is anything that has a grip on my mind, it's the thought of being on my deathbed and thinking to myself, if only I had, and you fill in the blanks. Regrets are a very harsh judgment on oneself. I came across a book by Bronnie Ware. She wrote a memoir of her own life, a life transformed by the dearly departing. And for many years, she worked in palliative care. Her patients were those who had gone to home to die and were with them for the last 3 to 12 weeks of their lives. And from this experience, she learned never to underestimate someone's capacity for growth. As expected, each experienced a variety of emotions: denial, fear, anger, remorse, more denial, and eventually acceptance. Every single patient found their peace before they departed, though. Every one of them. But there was something that she discovered when questioned whether there was anything that they would do differently, any regrets. Common themes surfaced again and again. And here are the most common 5. Number 1, I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. This was the most common regret of all. When people realize that their life is almost over and look back clearly on it, it is easy to see how many dreams have gone unfulfilled. Most had not honored even half of their dreams and had to die knowing that it was due to their choices that they had made or lack thereof. It is very important to try and honor at least some of your dreams along the way. From the moment that you lose your health, it is too late. Number 2. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. This came from every male patient that she nursed. They missed their children's youth and their partner's companionship. Women also spoke of this regret. All of the men she nursed deeply regretted spending so much of their lives on the treadmill of work experience. Number 3, I wish I'd had the courage to express my feelings. Many people suppress their feelings in order to keep peace with others. As a result, they settled for a mediocre existence and never became who they were truly capable of becoming. Many developed illnesses relating to the bitterness and resentment they carried as a result. Number 4, I wish I had stayed in touch with my friends. Many had become so caught up in their own lives that they had let go in friendships, slipped by over the years. There were so many regrets about not giving friendships the time and effort that they deserved. Everyone misses their friends when they are dying. Number 5, I wish that I had let myself be happier. Happiness is a choice. I wish I knew that earlier. This is a surprisingly common one. Many did not realize until the end that happiness is a choice. The frequency of their vibrations was stuck in old patterns and habits. hence their energy. The so-called comfort and familiarity overflowed into their emotions, as well as their physical lives. Fear of change had them pretending to others and to themselves that they were content, when deep within they longed to laugh properly and have silliness in their life again. And so I reached out to folks that I knew and put the word out that I was seeking employment and coincidentally received several leads, but one in particular that was most attractive to me because there was a woman whom I had admired when working there previously that I wanted to be mentored by. It meant returning to a firm I once worked for. I loved the energy and had forged relationships previously with some folks that still work there and likely will be friends with them for the remaining days here on planet Earth. Well, 3 weeks into my freedom from this previous place of employment, I get an invitation to meet with a couple of the principals of the firm. We meet for an hour, and in conclusion, one of the partners remarks, "We have never done this before. We are putting an offer on the table for you right now." Was this meant to be a serendipitous event? And so serendipitously, I joined the firm that I desired to work for, and then I'm now working with the woman I had in mind. Furthermore, I find that the project I will be lead project architect is one that represents one's individual life's journey. A spiritual retreat that will serve as a destination resort. It will have training facilities for those who want to take the ministerial path. And the way this site is going to be laid out is such that upon arrival, you will be entering the Garden of Eden, and therefore you will continue this journey, and it will be a journey into these catacombs, underground catacombs, replicas of Roman catacombs, as well as going into the welcoming center and being greeted and met by the owner of this amazing project, which has gone under the radar for quite some time. And and it's a project in Mission Valley, and I'm not talking about the NFL and the football stadium. No. It's a project that, the name of this project is Legacy, and I'll share some insight into it. It will become some monumental facility. And so, upon arrival, yes, you're welcomed by the Garden of Eden. You then go into this welcoming center, and you are greeted by the owner, who then shows you the way to various different exhibits. It will be a museum. It will highlight some of the experiences of this individual. And so you'll continue this journey down into these Roman replicas of catacombs, and then continue this journey through and eventually out into this plaza area with this abstract of the Wailing Wall at Jerusalem. And so it'll be a place of contemplation. It'll also be the conclusion of this journey that you'll take throughout this facility, and there's more to it than that, but it concludes with, as part of this design of the Wailing Wall, the Stairway to Heaven, and this completes your journey. Now, this man, this owner, is someone that back in my adolescence, I recall surfing the channels, turning the channels, and seeing this individual. And he apparently, if not started televangelism, he certainly popularized it. This fellow's name is Dr. Merz Sorello. And so he has traveled the world, and there's countless sightings, people talking about how he's healed their illnesses. He's been somewhat controversial, but the man is 82 years old. I met him for the first time yesterday, and wants to leave something behind because all the blessings he's had, he wants for the world to also enjoy these blessings. This project will be nestled amongst the hills of Mission Valley. Currently, the structures that exist now is known as the Mission Valley Resort. And so it's on Hotel Circle South. It'll be nestled between Albee's Inn and I think it's the Hilton Garden Inn. A brand new complex, world-class museum. And so I tell you this because I think it's something that I was meant to work on, and it was a serendipitous, certainly, journey getting to this point, and I had to undergo quite a few experiences, personal growth experience, in order to get there. And so, serendipitously also, on the day that I started with this firm, that evening when I got home and walked over to my home office desk, I found this. It had caught Beth's eye when she was at the grocer's. This is the man that will be creating this legacy. Coincidentally, it was on my desk the day that I started when I got home. I now know and recognize what is going on here. I've been asking myself for some time whether my heart feels like it and is it in the right place? Am I worthy? I know of the changes that have to take place prior to moving in the direction that Millie has invited me to take. And am I willing to step out of my comfortable zone? And shall I take that left turn? I share this with you in the hope that you will find your journey and purpose, and perhaps you already have. My next journey, or shall I say that new chapter in my life, has me asking myself whether I am worthy of moving in that direction of ministry that I've been invited to join.
Coincidentally.
And so, I share this with you, this journey, simply to be an example for you and to have the courage to live a life true to yourself and be willing to let go of who you think you're supposed to be in order to be who you genuinely are and not settle for mediocrity. To know that I don't have a monopoly on blessings, and that there is no shortage of blessings, there is only abundance. Because to practice a much higher vibrational frequency is exactly what attracts to you the events, conditions, and circumstances that you desire. And never underestimate your capacity for growth. But most importantly, to know that when your life doesn't appear to be moving in the right direction, try taking a left. Merry Christmas. Yeah. Thank you.
That. Thank you so much for sharing that. Sometimes the best talks are the ones that we get to find out more about the person. Strengths, weaknesses, fears. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. Coincidence?
Yeah.
I think not.